You're listening to an edited version of the live Voices of Montana statewide radio program. Find us on Facebook and subscribe for further podcasts wherever you get your audio on demand. I'm Tom Schultz, host of the program. Thanks for joining us, and please feel free to contact me at studio@voicesofmontana.com.
I mean, is that even a thing? Virtual kidnapping? It is a thing, yes. And it's kind of a scary thing, as we'll hear as we talk about it here today. It's a scam that has victimized nearly 200 Montanans just this last year, totaling losses of more than $400,000 in Montana. Scams. You know, there are things that we can do. We can prepare ourselves, even for something like this. When you get a call and somebody says, I have your daughter, I have your son, I have your mother. Yeah, what are you going to do? Well, listen to Fraud Watch Friday. We'll get you set up for that today on Voices of Montana.
It's time for the fastest hour in radio, from Montana for Montana, Voices of Montana with Tom Schultz. Call in today at 866-627-5483 or text a comment or question to 781-627-5483. Now here's your host, Tom Schultz.
Thank you, Eric, and a very pleasant good morning to you. Thank you all for joining us here from Montana for Montana, two decades strong, an objective perspective, and yes, today we're going to be learning more about these kinds of scams, which as I listen to some of the audio that's available on YouTube, and we'll play some of that here, it's just scary. And it's just, it doesn't make a lot of sense in a lot of ways. And we'll find out where they're coming from, where these scammers operate, and what kind of methods they use so you can get aware and be prepared and not get taken. I mean, you work hard for your money. I know you do. Well, it's Friday. I'm glad you're here. You've hung in there 5 long working days, and now only 2 more working days left this week. Get out there and enjoy your Montana weekend. You've earned it. Guess who's in studio? Al Ward. How you doing?
I'm doing okay. Getting ready for the long weekend, right?
Ah, good for you. State AARP president, and here our mainstay on Fraud Watch Friday. You've got a guest. Let's introduce Drew Scown. He's the FBI supervisory special agent, and he knows a few things about these scams, doesn't he?
Of course.
Drew Scown, how you doing, sir?
I'm great. How are you?
Hanging in. Actually, even a little bit better. It is Friday, right?
It is indeed.
Yeah. Thank you for being here as well. And looking forward to this hour as we talk about. And I'm reading news stories, and you know, there's a lot of things that will scratch our heads about how this sort of happens and how people can get taken. But it happens, and it's there are things that we can prepare. There's one thing we got to get to first, though, Al, and that is AARP. They have been also kind of victims of scams to a certain degree.
Well, if somebody calls you up and says, this is Jake from AARP Security Systems, don't fall for it.
You have no Jake there?
He's lying to you because there is no such thing as AARP Security Systems.
So they're using AARP then.
They are.
As a way to, people are going to trust AARP, and so they're going to, what follows that?
Well, this is just a lead into imposter scams, which is what we're going to be talking about, because basically people call up and actually say that they're from an organization, a government organization, or a business, or AARP, to get people past that point where they're going to hang up on it.
Drew Scown, that sounds like the typical way that scammers, we understand that they try to immediately establish some sort of trust or some sort of authority, and impersonating AARP or other agencies seem to be a key way they're doing it.
Well, absolutely, yeah. They definitely want to try to gain the person's trust or at least their compliance through using an organization that they have an affiliation with or that they trust, and that could be, as was mentioned, AARP, or it could be a government agency or some other business that they frequently are in contact with.
Which ones? I know we get those from Social Security, and people, I think, understand right now, or hopefully they understand by now, that Social Security will not call you, or the IRS. They will not call you. Are there other agencies out there that are being highlighted or hit more often?
Well, Secret Service gets used, FBI gets used, and you mentioned Social Security and IRS. Social Security seems to be the one that I hear about the most. But I think, you know, the most important thing when when you're getting a call from a government agency or a business or whoever it is that's calling you, you got to confirm that who you're talking to is who they say they are. And so you shouldn't just trust somebody that calls you on the phone. So if somebody calls and says they're from the FBI, you should say, great to hear from you. Let's give me your name and your telephone number. And then I'll call you back. And you can look up their number online for that agency, for the FBI, for example, and call and say, hey, does Drew Scown work here? And what's his telephone number? Help me get in contact with him. Then when you're talking to the person from that agency, you know that that's who you're talking to.
I want to play a clip for you here, and we just got some of the audio from news reports that were available online, and this is what it sounds like from the get-go.
Please, whatever you do, please just don't hurt my mom. I will do anything you want. All my money you can
have. Dude, bro, I just need some help. That's it.
I'm helping you, man. I'm giving you all I can. I'll give you anything you want, man. I will give you more than $500. I don't care what it takes.
That's why I told you to take it back on
Venmo. Yeah, I did. Please, I'm sorry. I'm just nervous. I've never used this before. Is my mom okay, man?
Yeah, your mom fine. She'll calm down a whole lot.
My mom's the most important person in my life, man. You know, and I can't live without her. So please, I will give you everything I have just to make sure that she's okay, man.
That was not a reenactment. That was actual audio from a reporter who was scammed, and you could see, and Drew, comment on that. You hear within that the typical things that these scammers are trying to achieve. And number one, the first thing was that this gentleman obviously got into a state of panic, or, you know, remaining calm, I suppose, is a real key thing here.
Oh, absolutely. And obviously that's a clip from what sounds like what we call a virtual kidnapping, where a scammer will pretend that they have control of somebody that's important to you and then will try to get you to send money as a ransom, when in fact they actually do not have your family number.
Talk about, if you would, then, some of the ways that they get inside your head.
Well, they certainly try to create an emergency, right? Because people don't think as well when they're under pressure. And so they will try to, you know, fluster the person. They'll try to, you know, make it sound like they have to do something right now. Obviously, with a virtual kidnapping, they're threatening violence against their family member. And so they do anything they can to kind of amp up the emotions of their potential victim.
I hadn't heard of virtual kidnappings until I saw that note in the paper. Is this something that has been going on for a while?
Yeah, it's becoming more and more prevalent. But it's something that's been around for quite a few years. I wouldn't be able to say exactly how long it's been virtual kidnappings have been going on, but like I said, it's been more and more prevalent recently, and the FBI has had several cases of virtual kidnappings in the state of Montana. And it's always very sad, right? Because obviously the level of manipulation that happens, and these scammers will, of course, you know, take money from the victim for as long as they're willing to send it to them.
Where are these calls originating, Drew?
So they could originate from anywhere. We're always seeing them originate almost exclusively outside the United States. Some of the more recent ones we've seen coming out of Mexico, but you know, like I said, it's almost always outside the United States and calling in and then trying to manipulate this person.
This is Drew Scown, FBI Supervisory Special Agent, over a dozen years with the FBI, and right now, current assignment is supervisor of the Financial Crimes and Public Corruption Squad in Salt Lake City, Utah. Are they hitting? Now, they were targeting Western Montana. I go back and read stories. Do they target different areas, or how are they operating?
So they don't specifically look out and say, like, hey, let's go after folks in Western Montana. They just look for potential victims online that they can try to extort. And so, you know, because of that, you should always be careful what you're posting online. And also, you should remember the things that you post online, because potentially a bad guy, if they have access to your social media accounts or social media accounts of your friends and family, they'll try to use that information to make it appear that they actually do have your family member.
In that sense, it's actually relatively easy to get some sort of information offline that they can use. Yeah.
Absolutely, especially just depending on how much of an online footprint you have. Obviously, the more information you're putting out there, the more photos you're putting out there, is potentially giving an opportunity for a bad guy to use that information against you.
Plus, it seemed like some of the ones that I read about in the article were people who actually were missing, and there had been, you know, information out in the press or other ways saying that they were missing. Is that something also?
That can certainly occur, and so obviously then the bad guy's finding that information out potentially in the media, and then contacting that person and trying to, you know, use that information about their loved one, actually, you know, them not knowing where they are, to then extort money out of them. Pretty sad stuff.
Yeah. People that do that don't really care about people. They care about money.
Oh, absolutely. With any of these scams, certainly they don't have a lot of feeling for others, clearly.
How much money are they asking for?
So it can be any amount. Like, usually on a virtual kidnapping or any kind of scam where you're getting contacted either by text or phone or through the or email or through social media, they'll usually start with a smaller amount and kind of gauge how much money they can get out of you. So, you know, usually a couple hundred, they'll start with a few hundred dollars, and they'll just keep going up until either the victim catches on that they're being scammed or until the victim doesn't have any more money to send.
And the fact that victims fall for this, why do they fall for this?
Well, that's a great question, and it can be a complicated answer, right? It can be any number of things, but I think victims oftentimes feel bad afterwards and think like, oh, you know, I talk to victims of fraud schemes almost every day, and sometimes they'll say, oh, you must think that I'm so stupid. How could I have fallen for this? And I say, you're not stupid. This happens to a lot of Americans. And you got to understand that the person that you were talking to is a professional con man. Con man meaning a confidence man, right? So they do what they need to do to either intimidate, scare, or gain the confidence of the person they're trying to scam. And, you know, we have seen these types of scams work against folks with all different levels of education and backgrounds. And so certainly it can happen to anybody. And that's why shows like this are so important, and educating the public is so important, so that we can, as Americans, do everything we can to counter these types of scams.
One of the things that I think is so a part of these kind of cons is two things. One is that they push your buttons so that you're excited, either in a good way or a bad way, and you're not thinking right when you're in that mode. But the other thing is they often have a lot of information about you. You know, if they can get stuff off of social media or whatever, they may have the information about you that leads to you thinking that they're who they say they are.
We're going to explore this in more detail. Alex Ward is with us. Al Ward, AARP State President for Montana. Special guest today, Drew Scown, FBI Supervisory Special Agent, Imposter Scams, on Fraud Watch Friday here on Voices of Montana.
Hi, we're the Oak Ridge Boys.
Scammers steal billions of dollars from unsuspecting people every year.
We are working with AARP's Fraud Watch Network and the Department of Justice to keep you from being a victim of fraud.
They have vital information for you.
They will help you get in touch with folks that fight fraud every day.
Go to AARP.org/Fraud Watch Network.
866-627-5483. Or 781-627-5483. If you got a question here for us today, too, on Voices of Montana, it's from Montana for Montana today on Fraud Watch Friday. It is about these imposter scams. And when you go and listen to the audio of it, it's definitely a scary thing.
She woke up. She started freaking out. Okay. She said she was going to call the police. That's why we told her to calm down and don't say that.
Roger, where exactly are you?
I'll let you know in just a minute. All right. I'm not going to tell you where I'm standing, but I can tell you we can meet somewhere. I'll be able to drop your daughter off. We can have nothing else to do with each other. But if you get the police involved, sir, I'm going to hang up this call and I'm going to take Leo with me. You understand that?
No, Roger, I don't understand that. You're trying to be helpful, but it sounds like, but I'm not sure what's going on.
Listen to me. simple as this. Your daughter, she saw something she wasn't supposed to see. She saw the car we were driving and when we took off and we started shooting at the police.
Where are you located at?
I'm not going to tell you where I'm located at, sir. Why am I going to tell you where I'm located if I have your daughter here kidnapped?
Well, you can let your
or are you going to go ahead and do whatever you want to do? I'll hang up the call. You can call the police. You can look for your daughter yourself. Do you understand me, sir?
No, I don't understand you, Roger. This is not making any sense at all.
You're not good over here. Okay, again. Well, then you know what, sir? If you're not understanding, will you understand if I start hurting your daughter? Is that what you want? You want me to start putting pressure on you a different way?
Why would you be doing that if you're trying to calm her down?
I was suggesting you to take me off the speaker and start doing what I'm telling you to, sir.
I was taking you off speaker because I was trying to look at the phone number. What kind of weird number is that?
Look, the number just can't be traced. As simple as that. Don't worry about the damn SIM card that I'm using. Okay?
That's an actual, again, scammer's phone call that was recorded from someone who was not necessarily playing the perfect role of a victim. In this circumstance, Drew Scown is with us, FBI Supervisory Special Agent, and also Al Ward here from AARP, State President for Montana. Drew, I think what we heard, well, why don't you describe what we heard there? It seemed to me that this gentleman who was trying to be scammed was probably doing some of the right things.
Well, absolutely. So, you know, as you talked about before, like one thing that he did is he stayed calm. He didn't allow himself to get caught up in the situation and what the guy was telling him. And he helped the conversation slow down, right? He asked follow-up questions to try to make sure he understood what was going on so that he could gain a full understanding of what the guy was trying to get him to do.
One of the things that I think, you know, we typically tell people to do, and it's in the sheets that I'm looking at, use your caller ID. Use your different technology to answer the phone for you so that you don't end up talking to somebody like that. Let them leave you a message. If they leave you a message, then you have more time to decide whether you're going to call them back or not. The other thing that's important that I hear a lot is that once you send the money, you're guaranteed you're going to get another call and they're going to ask you for more money.
Certainly. Yeah, and that's exactly right. Yeah, if you send money, then you've demonstrated that you're somebody that they want to keep talking to, whether about this same scam or whether they're going to contact you about something else. But you know, once you've given them some money and given them a taste of that, they're absolutely going to call you back, or they're going to sell your information to another scam organization that is going to try to get more money out of you. You know, if somebody gets one of these virtual kidnapping calls, which I would guess that they'll become more and more prevalent, and the reason is because they work, is, you know, as we talked about, stay calm, slow the situation down, avoid sharing any information with them that they may not already have, right? So if, you know, that caller, like they were saying that they had his daughter, you know, he didn't use his daughter's name, for example. So don't give them any information, more information that they potentially could use against you. In addition to that, it's really important to, you know, ask, you know, how do I know that my loved one's okay? Can I talk to them? I want to speak to them. Have them call me back from their cell phone, right? I want to get a call from their cell phone number if you really have my son or daughter or my loved one. And, you know, if you get the opportunity, if they put somebody on the phone that is pretending to be your family member, then you should definitely ask that person questions that only your family member would know. That way, the scammers aren't able to try to convince you that the person you're talking to is actually your family member. In addition to that, if you're on the phone with someone who's claiming they have kidnapped a friend or a family member and they're demanding you stay on the phone, try to use another phone line or another method of communication to contact your family member that they are pretending to be holding. So, you know, if you can go to a neighbor's house and have them call your family member, or if you can call the police from the neighbor's phone, that's always a good idea. And obviously you can attempt to contact your family member through either text or through social media, and see if they're okay. And then if you are able to contact the person in your family that they're pretending to have, obviously then you know that it's a scam. And just buy time as things move along. Most importantly, though, I would encourage folks not to send money unless you've talked to law enforcement first, whether that's your local police department or another law enforcement agency or the FBI, because they can definitely help you navigate these waters and help you identify whether it's an actual kidnapping or a virtual kidnapping.
Yeah, and that's a question I kind of want to follow through with after this break here. What is the major differences between this and an actual kidnapping? Let's take a break. A few things that we also have to cover, too, as we're looking at imposter scams. It's not just these virtual kidnapping scams. There's grandparent scams, romance scams, fake charity scams. As you mentioned, Al, AARP, people have been getting calls from the AARP security system. That does not exist. You may have a Jake there, but he is not with the AARP security system. That has also been taking place. So we're back with more here with Drew Scown, FBI Supervisory Special Agent, and Al Ward, State President for AARP Montana, after these headlines from Brian Bennett. Scammers posing as someone or something else to convince you to send them money. It's the most common form of fraud reported to the FTC, the Federal Trade Commission, which logged nearly 500,000 complaints about imposter scams in 2020. How much? $1.2 billion just swiped from Americans and from others. Drew Scown is with us, FBI Supervisory Special Agent, and Al Ward here as we're talking about these imposter scams. And Drew, thank you for being here. So I don't know how often folks, ordinary folks who could be scammed virtually, are actually at risk of being a victim of actual kidnapping. What's the differences there?
Well, obviously, actual kidnappings are super rare. So if you get one of these calls, it's highly likely that it's a virtual kidnapping. So obviously, we should, you know, treat those things seriously. But you just need to be aware of the warning signs that we've been talking about today and do the things to protect yourself so you make sure you're not getting scammed.
Will they, in fact, leave a message?
Great question. I actually haven't talked to somebody who's received a message before, but, you know, like AARP told you, that's a great way to protect yourself is if you don't recognize a phone number, just let them leave a message. If they don't leave a message, then clearly it wasn't very important.
Right. And if they do leave a message, that does give you some time to contact the potential victim there.
You could use that time to contact the potential victim or to contact law enforcement as well to get some guidance and some assistance.
What can law enforcement do?
Well, certainly, because we see these things more often than your average, you know, Joe Q citizen, we can definitely help people kind of navigate through it and try to identify whether it's something real or something not.
I read a story recently where actually some of the victims' money was able to be recovered, but that is pretty rare, isn't it?
It is rare because they do a lot of things to either launder the money or they use money systems that make it really difficult for law enforcement to get the money back. Additionally, since most of these scams originate outside the United States, obviously once the money leaves the country, it can be very difficult for law enforcement to get the money back for the victim.
Originating outside of the United States then, and a lot of this is spoofing, or is a lot of it spoofing? Because they at times can actually get your grandmother's phone number.
Yeah, certainly there's sometimes spoofed numbers to make it look like it's coming from a specific person. But, you know, they sometimes just call from random numbers like the clip that we heard earlier.
All right. I got some resources to pass along here as we come on back after this next break, too, and talk more. We haven't necessarily hit these lottery and prize scams. Those are also imposter scams. We talked a bit about government, you know, like Social Security Service, but there are government grant programs out there, too. And imposters and scammers are using that system to try and dupe people out of their money. Let's not let that happen. That's what Fraud Watch Friday is all about. And we're back with more Al Ward and Drew Scown from the FBI after this.
Voices of Montana continues right after this.
You're listening to a podcast from the live Voices of Montana radio show. Be sure to check out the full podcast page at voicesofmontana.com for a full listing of all our programs. We've been covering Montana issues for more than 20 years. Thanks for listening today.
You don't really think about it. Virtual kidnapping is a thing, and it does cost Montanans. A story out of the Helena Independent Record talked about people in western Montana being victimized. The total number last year was 200 Montanans losing about $400,000 in these imposter scams, virtual kidnapping scams. There's more and different types of imposter scams that we'll talk about here as well as we welcome you back. It's From Montana for Montana, Voices of Montana. Tom Schultz alongside on AARP's Fraud Watch Friday. Drew Scown is with us, FBI supervisory special agent, over a dozen years and come out of the Utah area. He's a Cougar, Brigham Young University, is also a certified public accountant and emergency medical technician, so has got his hands in a lot of things. And Al Ward, our AARP state president for Montana, been a volunteer there since 2009, working as a lead volunteer. Also a storied career in law enforcement and has written a few books about it.
Yeah. The one thing that I think we might segue to, you brought it up earlier, and that's romance scams. What are you seeing with romance scams these days?
Well, they're becoming more and more prevalent, certainly, and the varied ways that they're coming at people are pretty interesting. And for folks that don't know, a romance scam is just basically where the victim gets involved with a fraudster from a distance, right, virtually, whether that be over the phone or over the internet. And over a course of time, sometimes over a short period of time, sometimes over a number of months, the fraudster develops a romantic relationship with the victim, right? And then any number of different things will happen that the bad guy will tell the victim to make him start sending money. So, for example, you know, a lot of things we're seeing is, you know, the fraudster is pretending to be an American doctor that is overseas, or pretending to be in the military and serving overseas, the U.S. military. Or they pretend that they are, we see a lot where they're pretending to be an oil worker that is working overseas. And then there'll be some sort of a medical emergency or a business emergency, or they need money to come and visit the victim. And so they'll start asking the victim to send them money. And of course, the victim is more inclined to do that because they've developed romantic feelings for the fraudster.
Government grant scams. I think, Al, you were mentioning we're seeing some COVID-19 related imposter scams. Drew, how prevalent is that? Is that rather recent?
So certainly with the COVID-19 stuff, that's just over the last year and a half or so. But, you know, the bottom line to remember is that anytime somebody's contacting you that you don't know, you really need to confirm that you know who you're talking to and what their intentions are. And like I said earlier in the show, the thing that you should do if you get contacted, especially if it's somebody that's claiming to be from the government, you should get their name and their telephone number, look up that agency online, and find the number yourself, the main number, and call and confirm that person is with the agency and have them connect you to that person. Because then you know you're talking to the person that they're claiming to be, as opposed to talking to a fraudster. And, you know, the other thing is, anytime that somebody's asking you to send money, the government is never going to ask you to send money to them from a phone call, for example. Like, the FBI is never going to call and say, hey, you have a warrant and you need to send us some money or we're going to come arrest you. That would never happen. If law enforcement has an arrest warrant, then we're just going to come and arrest you, right? We're not going to call and threaten you and ask you to send us money. But as far as, like, sending money, it's really important for folks to remember that they should have a high level of suspicion anytime that somebody is asking them to send money in a hurry, right? Like, if, hey, this needs to happen right now, or something bad's going to happen, or in addition, anytime that you're asked to send money to somebody that you really don't know, you should avoid being involved in those transactions. Or additionally, some other warning signs is if they're asking you to be involved in transactions that you normally typically wouldn't be involved in. So, for example, if they're asking you to go buy virtual currency, whether that be Bitcoin or another virtual currency, and then send the information on that to them, or if they're asking you to go out and buy gift cards and then provide the information on the gift cards to them as a way to send them money, or if they're asking you to send money sending businesses or use money sending businesses to send the money, if that's not transactions that folks are typically involved in, and so if they're asking you to do any of those sorts of things, you should be highly suspicious, and you should contact law enforcement to seek some guidance from them.
Yeah, I always
the one I want to mention that's really important that we're seeing a lot more of is that fraudsters are asking folks, especially older Americans, to send them money cash through either the mail or through the U.S. mail or through other carriers. And they'll have them, you know, stick $100 bills in magazines to try to hide it from the carrier and that sort of thing. If anyone's asking you to send cash, you shouldn't, first of all. And that's a red flag that it's a scam and you should contact law enforcement.
Speaking of law enforcement, how do you prosecute these sorts of crimes? How do we I suppose you depend an awful lot on the public to inform you and try to at least get some leads on how you can crack down on these things.
Absolutely. So the main way that we find out that these scams are happening is through the public contacting us and letting them know that they've been either approached or that they have sent money and been victimized. So certainly the way we find out about it is from folks letting us know. That's the main way that we find out about it. But, you know, in addition to that, like you mentioned about how do we prosecute these cases, and sadly, typically we don't. And the reason being is almost always these fraudsters are overseas, and which makes it a lot more difficult to get them back to the United States and then prosecute them. And so the key to America beating these fraudsters is for us to become educated about common fraud schemes and keep our wits about us and involve law enforcement early. That's the key to us overcoming this billion-dollar industry that has popped up.
And in very creative ways, too. It seems like there's no shortage of creativity when it comes to criminals, scammers, trying to take your money. Drew Scown, FBI Supervisory Special Agent. Al Ward is in studio, AARP State President for Montana. I kind of want to go into this job of yours, Drew. As Al, you were saying, I think people might be surprised at the number and different types of financial crimes there are. And you work and your crew work with financial crimes, healthcare fraud, money laundering, investment fraud, corporate fraud. It seems to be no shortage of these sorts of things.
Yeah, certainly. And so, yeah, we have a broad mission. We work each of those types of things. We do work a lot of investment scams, which is kind of the standard Ponzi scheme where somebody is, lying to someone to get them to invest in their business. Most of those particular schemes are located in the United States, are probably a more traditional investigation for the FBI, as opposed to these overseas scammers. But yeah, there's certainly no shortage of fraud cases for the FBI to work. And we try to just get after it and try to help the public the best that we can.
What's the most challenging aspect of your job?
Well, kind of going back to these international scams where fraudsters are contacting people by phone or by the internet, sometimes the challenge can be convincing the victim that they're a victim, especially when they're a victim of a romance scam, because the con man has, you know, developed this relationship with the person, and sometimes it can be difficult for us to, you know, for lack of a better term, rescue them from the clutches of the bad guy because of that relationship. So that can often be challenging for us and quite sad as well, because not only has that person been victimized by money, right, but their heart has been hurt too, right, as they come to know that this person that they've come to trust and and maybe even love is someone who is in fact using them.
Another thing that strikes me too is, as one of the suggestions here, is to stay calm. But when somebody calls you and says, "I have your daughter," how do you stay calm through something like that?
Well, great question, and certainly it's a scary situation, but we just as Americans, we just have to make the choice to stay calm and to use our heads and think through the situation. Okay, so this is what they're claiming to do. Okay, I'm going to ask, can I talk to my daughter, right? Can I talk to my son? Have them call me. If you have them call me from their cell phone that they would have on them. And then, you know, trying to contact that person separate and apart from the bad guy to try to confirm it, and, you know, because if you can reach them, then obviously they're not with the bad guy. So, you know, that as difficult as it can be to stay calm in these situations, and as we've discussed, the bad guy tries to do everything that they can to raise the emotions of their victim. You know, staying calm and using your head and thinking through the situation, getting help where you can is the key to being successful here.
Going to take a break and come on back as we are on Fraud Watch Friday. It's imposter scams this week and this month, I should say. Reminder that you can catch all of these on our podcast page. Last month was elder abuse in Indian country, and that was another good Fraud Watch Friday. Also, a day of honor as we're talking about our Native Americans, the 100th anniversary of the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. That's up from yesterday's fresh show. Go to the podcast page at voicesofmontana.com.
At Napa, you can get a 5-quart jug of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil for $26.99. An incredible oil for an unbeatable price from the best car people around. That's Mobil 1, only $26.99. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how. Napa know-how. General States pricing. Sales prices not include applicable state local taxes or recycling fees. Offer ends 9/30/20.
Stop in to your locally owned Napa Auto Parts today.
Napa know-how.
Just the amount of money, I think, is flooring here. We talk about these imposter scams. This is from the AARP Fraud Watch Network website. They've got just a ton of helpful information there, including some of these resources. In fact, we'll have Drew Scown give out his phone number, too, because he's the FBI Supervisory Special Agent. We're talking about imposter scams. Al Ward is with us, AARP State President for the state of Montana. But here on this Fraud Watch Network scam sheet, $1.2 billion with a median loss of $850 for last year, 500,000 complaints from the FTC. And, Drew, that's not even really probably the actual number of victims out there. That's a lot of money.
It is a lot of money, and to your point, it's highly underreported, we suspect, mm-hmm. because especially when someone's a victim of one of these scams, they often start feeling silly once they realize that they've been scammed, and so sometimes they won't tell their friends and family, or they won't report it to law enforcement because they don't want to appear weak. And really, that's not being helpful to them. We really encourage folks that if they believe they potentially could be currently getting scammed, or if they have been scammed, to report it to us. That's the best opportunity for us to be able to help them and also have an accurate picture of the fraud situation, both in the state of Montana and across the United States.
Yeah, I think, you know, people really need to report fraud. It's something that is really underreported, all different types of it. But if the con can actually make you frightened for somebody, then chances are you're not going to report it.
But Drew, I get like about 3 phone calls a day from people trying to sell me a car warranty. I mean, some of that's legit, and I'm not going to report all that.
Yeah, so if you immediately recognize it's a scam, you probably don't need to let us know. But if you've been talking to them and they've got some money out of you, then certainly we want you to call us and talk to us about it. But yeah, it's good that you recognize those calls that you're getting are fraudulent, and you're taking action by not talking to those folks. And that's really what, as well, that what we recommend. Like if you get a phone call or you're contacted by email or text and you recognize, hey, this is a scam, just do not have contact with those folks. Just break contact with them, and they'll get bored and move on.
Supervisor of the Financial Crimes and Public Corruption Squad in Salt Lake City, Utah. That covers Montana. What states does that cover?
Salt Lake City Division of the FBI covers all of Montana, Idaho, and Utah.
Do you what's your website? I mean, people can go there to. Now, there's other resources as well, and I would encourage folks to go to AARP Montana or /Montana. You have the Office of Consumer Protection, the FTC, but you guys also receive a lot of these phone calls directly.
We do, and so our Internet Crime Complaint Center is at www.ic3.gov. ic3.gov, and on there you can file a complaint, and there's also access to a lot of information about common fraud schemes that folks can educate themselves about what the FBI has seen most recently, new scams that pop up, and just come to know some of the stuff that's going on. Additionally, our number, our main number for the three states to call in complaints is 801-579-1400. And if you need to talk to an agent or get some guidance or support, then we are certainly happy to talk to you.
Real quickly, Drew, education is making a dent in this, isn't it?
Absolutely, it is. Like, the more that the public can become aware of some of the ways that these bad guys are going to come at them, the better chance that we have as Americans to not get victimized.
Al, any final thoughts?
The unfortunate thing is that when people are startled by something, sometimes they forget the things that they've learned. But Basically, keeping at it and teaching people what's going on is the way to solve it.
Al Ward, State President, AARP Montana, Drew Scown. Drew, real quickly, how are the Cougars going to do this year?
Undefeated, for sure.
Oh, you're going to enjoy that then. Hey, thank you for being here. Appreciate that. Drew Scown.
Thanks for your time.
All right. Eric Young, our in-studio engineer, thank you as well. We've hit it. It's the weekend. You guys enjoy. See you Tuesday.